You're listening to the Open Wheel Spectacular Podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Hello, world. This week's episode of the Open Wheel Spectacular brought to you by Maxim Chassis, All-Star Performance, and Dirt Track Nation. Later on this edition, we're going to talk to Mike and Steven Linder about the Fremont Speedway Motorsports Education Program they've launched for 2024. Joining me again in the co-host seat is Derek Bean. Derek, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I like the weather a little bit more than the snow that we got today.
Dude, it's like blowing sideways out here all day. It was bananas.
It was. So hopefully it's not going to stay very long, though.
We had to pull the wing back to get around today. It was not much fun. So
right.
Well, with it being snowing outside, there's still some racing to discuss, though. Should we dig right into it?
We should.
The latest dirt.
Carson Macedo announced he will return to the World of Outlaws Tour full-time in 2024 with Jason Johnson Racing. Macedo has finished third, remarkably, in three seasons in a row in the point standings. Derek, who would you take to win the World of Outlaws Championship so far with the roster they've acquired in 2024? Gravel, Carson Macedo, or the rest of the field?
If you're giving me that choice right now, I'm going to go with Gravel and Macedo. They finished 2-3 the last 3 years. You lost, obviously, Sweet. The rest of the field looks like it's going to be there, but they haven't beat them yet. So it's kind of like, I'll take the field until the field can surpass them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, if Macedo can avoid things like what happened to him at Knoxville. I think he's in position to maybe give Gravel a run for his money. I think those two will be entertaining to watch this year. I mean, they're not going to have Sweet consisting them to death, week in and week out. It'll be interesting to see how that growth is. But obviously a huge signing for the World of Outlaws. I mean, that is a very big deal right now for them to be able to sign the JJR team again.
It was kind of weird that he didn't sign earlier. It kind of seemed like it was a done deal, like he wouldn't flip sides, but as it went on longer and longer, I thought to myself, maybe he is going to explore the option of going to high limit.
Yeah, I don't think we're done yet either. I mean, I think they're going to milk these things for probably right up to Chili Bowl and maybe afterwards. I mean, we're right to the end of it. There's only a few teams left to really see what's going to happen with them. But I think we're going to get it milked right up until the last possible moment.
In what might have been the most surprising announcement, Bill Balog committed to the World of Outlaws Tour in 2024. TJ, did this announcement surprise you?
Absolutely. I was stunned. This was not one I expected to hear from. I mean, I didn't know what Balog's plans were going to be for next year. Hadn't really even thought about reaching out to him yet. I mean, my focus and attention was elsewhere. And then I got that. I was like, whoa, that is impressive. So kudos to him. I mean, to put together the program, they've worked hard on a lot of sponsorship activation things and some other things to try to make this happen. And I'm glad they were able to put it together. It'll be interesting to see how he performs going coast to coast next year.
Right. I think if you really pay attention to Bill Balog, I think this is a sneaky good addition for the World of Outlaws. I don't think he can compete with the top five teams necessarily, but he has a World of Outlaw win. This year, he went back-to-back with the All-Stars at two completely different tracks in Spoon River and Red Hill. And then if you watch him, I mean, he'll go out to PA and he'll have a good run. He'll have a good run at World Finals. He made the feature at the big race at Husetts this year. So I think he's going to be a really good addition. I don't think like he's going to compete for a championship, but I think he's going to be up there, maybe win a race or two, and just be a good addition for the World Outlaws.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me when they come up to, then they go to Wisconsin if he picked up one of those races. I think some of the places he hasn't been to before, when they go out to the West Coast and stuff, that's going to be, he's been out there in some other cars. But I mean, I think that's going to be a challenge, obviously. I mean, when you're doing your own program, trekking it around the country and everything, there's obviously logistical challenges and all kinds of things that go with that. But I think it's a great addition and nice surprise. And it's maybe not the youngest guy in the world, but a ton of experience, a guy that knows how to run up front.
Exactly.
Brett Marks announced leading into the weekend that he is going on, back on tour chasing points with the High Limit Sprint Car Series for 2024. Derek, are you surprised that Marks is coming back to chase points with the series?
It did surprise me a little bit. He seemed to like to pick and choose, and then last year he even kind of took a break midway through the season. So I was surprised to hear that he was going to follow the series. It sounds like he likes what High Limit was doing. Obviously, in 2022, he was the driver of the year and had a huge year. And he kind of felt like last year was a little bit off for him. But then he picked up the niddle. He won Sealings Grove National Open, Williams Grove National Open. It's like, I don't think he's hurting for money as much as I thought he was after the year he had in 2022.
No, no one wants that kind of pay cut. Believe me, that was, if you could make that kind of year every year, that'd be awesome.
Exactly.
But you know, I think the big thing here is when you look at both those schedules side by side. I've been doing some comparison with them, and you know, if you go to all the big races with High Limit that are not High Limit sanctioned, like you go to Houston, you go to Knoxville, you go to the Williams Grove National Open, you go to the Kings Royal, all those kind of places, like you do all those events. You still end up about 20 nights less on track than you do on the World of Outlaws tour, roughly, give or take a few, including the four that the Outlaws get, you know, the Outlaw Platinum members get. So when you're talking about 20 nights at home, that I can see where that totally appeals to Brent Marks. Here's going to be the thing that Brent Marks is probably going to hate about this. It's the same thing, reason why I don't like working for Sirius anymore and choose not to, because thankfully I don't have to. But, you know, when you're, there's nothing more hopeless than driving hours away into a rainstorm that you know is not going, is hopeless. Like, I'm not going to say where, but there are at least two racetracks that were at least 4 hours or more away from home when I was on my announcing kick about a decade and a half ago. And you drive to these places and you're just driving into, like, you're literally driving in the storm as it's moving towards the racetrack. And one time it literally got canceled as I pulled in the gate. And the next time I got stuck all weekend, you know, at a place because they didn't cancel the last minute on Saturday, shot the whole weekend. And didn't make a dime. So it was like a huge empty like void there and a huge expense. So, you know, though, you know, the past couple of years, Marks has been able to avoid that. He's like, it's gonna rain there. I'm not driving there. I'll just stay home and go race. Or, you know what? We're just not gonna take the car out this weekend. When you're committed to points, you can't do that. So it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts and acclimates back to that. You know, Derek, where do you think he's going to end up in the High Limit roster? I mean, he's got to be one of the favorites to be up front.
I would say he's almost the biggest competitor to Sweet. I mean, obviously, I'm not discounting Rico, and he's going to be up there too. But I mean, Marks has been the hottest driver. He was the hottest driver in the nation in 2022, and he wasn't that far off that in 2023. Holiday Speed Weeks are coming up in Australia. It feels like we don't hear as much about Australian sprint car scene anymore like we used to. TJ, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, obviously losing the track in Sydney and having it, you know, and then the disaster the new one's been, and you know, Brisbane going away has hurt that a lot. It's obviously going to pick up now with the Americans coming over, but the lead up into it is definitely less. And also not having a World Sprint Car Series. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting how some of the big players have changed in this thing. I mean, I find a lot more interest in seeing what's going on at Perth than some of the other facilities that have sprint car racing. Like, I, you know, and one advantage though is Perth, I can still catch up if I get up in the morning, have coffee and breakfast, and still see the feature at Perth if I want to. But I mean, it's definitely not been as much really since 2020, unfortunately. You know, it's taken a dive, but then all these tracks going away, it definitely have not helped.
Right. We'll have to see after we get rolling here this year if it does pick up, because this is kind of the year where the drivers are full on going back. I know they started to sprinkle in a little bit last year, but this year it seems like they're kind of all back in there. But the problem is also, it almost seems like some of the drivers in now have found that it was a little bit nice just staying home, doing some racing here, Chili Bowl, whatever they can do. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when we get full into it this year.
Of course, I'm a sprint car nerd. I'm going to be getting up at 4 a.m. to watch the Classic and probably getting up at 5 a.m. to watch Perth in the next couple of weeks. So I'm probably not the best example of this at all. Yeah.
Exactly.
So Parker Price Miller announced that he is joining the High Limit Sprint Car Series While the World Outlaws signed Noah Gass for 2023 as well, a couple of the other announcements that happened last week. So now with the World of Outlaws rosters, you look at both of them. Derek, what do you think of both rosters, and what really stands out for you?
When I heard that Parker Price Miller was going all in, I kind of joked and said that I'm going to call his bluff. Seems like almost every year he signs on with some national series. One year he was even going to go late model racing. And I don't know, it just, no knock on him. He's a good driver. He can win races. He can compete with the best, but I don't necessarily see him following the entire tour. But I guess I might stand corrected at the end of the year.
I think he'll stick it out. I mean, it's, you know, look, there's a lot at stake here. You know, I think Parker Price Miller and everyone around him, I could see where they'd be highly motivated by the franchising system they're talking about doing with High Limit and some of the other perks of it, the extra nights, not on track. There's just, I mean, it really fits him, I think. And I think it's a perfect fit. Like, the things that series is trying to do, I think fits PPM to a T. So that part of it doesn't surprise me, and I do think he'll make it all the way through. I think there'll be, like I said, I think there's enough motivation there that even if they're not in the hunt for one of those first five franchisees spot, I think they're going to stick with it to try to get into that slot for the following year too. But I think he'll be competitive enough that he will be one of the ones definitely in the hunt for those five spots.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think, one of the top probably five drivers who announced so far. So again, and it seems like he has a pretty good crew behind him. And I know that Bernie seems to help out a little bit with that team. So I think that they have the tools to make it, and I think they can be competitive. It'll be interesting to see if he sticks with it. High Limit also announced that Lawrenceburg Speedway fills the TBA date on their schedule for May 31st, the night before the Macetomic Classic at Butler Motor Speedway. That is a 270-mile trip overnight. TJ, what are your thoughts?
I'm glad I'm not driving the hauler. I mean, you know, it's not ideal, but I don't think they were left with much choice. That Friday night show was really hard to shop around here. Obviously, there were no Northern Ohio tracks that were going to take that date. And, right. You know, and even Indiana, that was going to be a tough sell on a Friday night. You know, that's a big number. Lawrenceburg's probably one of the few tracks that could pull that off. I'm a little surprised they took it on on their off night, like not on their natural Saturday night too. I think that's an interesting part of this, but you know, obviously I didn't reset the timer, and then you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the teams will do this. I mean, there are several of these on the High Limit Tour. This is by far not the worst, but you know, you figure your maintenance doing that up, that's a pretty good haul up here.
And really, as far as the two tracks go, it's going to be pretty much two completely different fields. The Berg's going to have to hope to pull like Indiana, Illinois type guys, and Butler's really going to draw Michigan guys. I don't see necessarily any travelers wanting to follow both nights. I'm assuming Fremont and Attica are going to run against it. The Outlaws are in Beaver Dam for two nights that weekend. I don't necessarily love the World of Outlaw two-night system, but I mean, that's definitely a bit a benefit to go there, and you don't have a travel on Saturday. So
yeah, I think they'll be I think they'll have enough cars, and I think they'll actually get some people to go with it. You know, the payday will be tempting enough, and enough people like running at the Berg because they don't do it very often. You know, to try to get them to come north to Michigan, they'll probably sweeten the pot a little bit or something. Who knows? But I'm sure it will be fine. Both places will have more than enough cars. And so this is actually one I'm not real worried about, believe it or not. This is one of the conflicts and everything where I'm like, this is probably going to work out okay. I mean, I think there's enough cars around. You know, you don't need 50. I mean, yeah. You know, as long as you have enough to weed out a few in the B main, that's more than enough to get the job done. I think it's going to be good. I'm just glad I'm not the one having to do the maintenance. I'm going to be a different race that Friday night, a heck of a lot closer to home. So,
right.
But I will be there on Saturday. So,
I agree. I don't think that either track's going to be hurting for cars. I just think that the fields are going to look vastly different at each track, other than your High Limit kind of regulars and maybe a couple of them who follow. But I think the Michigan guys are going to support. You are going to get a couple of guys who will say, hey, I'll go to Butler because I can make the feature there, rather than where I normally run on Saturday night. So
Some local news that just broke, actually, right before we recorded, that Tyler Rankin and Greg Wheeler Motorsports are going to follow the IRA Sprint Car Tour in 2024. Derek, your reaction to one of our locals heading to the Wisconsin side of the lake to do some sprint car racing next year?
You know, you don't see Michigan guys get out and travel much in general. It's no knock on Michigan drivers. They just, for whatever reason, don't. So it's nice to see someone who's willing to go out there and try some new things. He obviously has a ton of potential. He's really exciting. And I think that he's going to fit in well with the IRA guys. Obviously, they're going to have a lot more laps at those Wisconsin tracks, so it's going to be a learning curve for Rankin, but I think he's going to fit in nicely.
Yeah, I mean, naturally, it's tough to travel from up here. I mean, you know, he's down from your neck of the woods, which is a lot easier to do this. Like, if you're north of, let's say, I-94, it gets really tough around here to go travel race south. I mean, you're losing 2 to 3 hours, you know, depending on your hauler and everything, getting back up and down the road. And it's a lot of work and a lot of expense. So kudos to Greg Wheeler, who has followed the entire IRA Sprint Car Tour before as a driver. So this is kind of a return for him back to the series. I think it's the logical next step with the All-Stars not there. I mean, should they probably have maybe done a Fremont Attica program? I don't know, because, I mean, where Greg is in Columbia City, Indiana, I mean, you figure Highland, you know, IRA is going to be part of that Maverick Speed Week in Indiana, so they're going to get some Indiana shows somewhat close to Greg's shop. I mean, Greg's still north of Indy, but, I mean, still, it's a lot closer to some other places. And I'm still not convinced that we might not see a couple of IRA shows closer to here. We'll have to see how the second half of their schedule pans out. Not ruling out yet, but I'm not overly hopeful about it. But I'm not ruling it out until the schedule comes out. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity for him. And I hope he can take advantage of it, because, I mean, this could be big for him.
Exactly. And the good thing about going over there opposed to running Fremont Attica is you're going to run a lot of different tracks and you're going to get a lot of unique experiences that, if he does try to go on to the next step from there, are going to help him out.
Well, that's going to wrap up the latest dirt. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Michael and Steven Linder about the Fremont Speedway Motorsports Education Program here on the Open Wheel Spectacular. Something new for the 2024 season, Fremont Speedway has launched a program called Fremont Speedway Motorsports Education. Two of the people involved with this new program are brothers Mike and Steven Linder. Guys, thank you for joining us on the show.
Hey, thank you for having us. Yeah, thanks, TJ.
So let's talk about where the roots of this, you know, came up. Where was the idea hatched for the Fremont Speedway Motorsports Education Program?
Oddly enough, in the pit area at Fremont Speedway. Rich Farmer and I were standing at the back of Darren Nida's car and having a conversation, and he brought up to me, he says, you know what the sport needs is somebody to have a school to just try to help out, you know, and especially, you know, somebody that's struggling or new to the sport or however that is. You know, they got no place to go other than the people that are trying to sell them parts. And so, you know, he kind of wanted somebody to, you know, the idea to try to help some of these teams out that just have nowhere to turn for this kind of help. And you know, and it all hinged on a lot of things. But, you know, he said, if somehow we end up at this racetrack, I'd like to do that. And, you know, so it was kind of his baby. But he came to Steven and I and brought it up. And I was apprehensive at first, you know, there's always that, you know, the love of racing and having cars and so forth. But the desire to maybe give back to the sport, you know, I've been kind of taken my whole life. And this is a little bit of an opportunity to give back.
Now, Rich is involved in this. Now he has Fremont Speedway again. You know, he hatched the idea, but was it pretty much contingent on him getting the racetrack? Or would you have done this program elsewhere if he had not gotten Fremont back?
Well, there's almost no way to do it, you know, renting a facility. You need to have the racetrack be prepared as well as you want it, you know. You need to have access to the racetrack whenever you need it. You know, so there's, I mean, yeah, it can be done. There's no doubt. Corey Kruseman doesn't California without owning a racetrack. But it's much more difficult. And then you're reliant on other people to prepare the racetrack, you know, so forth. So this, we can control a lot of the aspects of it, are the fire safety, the ambulances, the readiness of the racetrack, you know, all that kind of stuff we can control ourselves. So it's very helpful, you know, to have the facility, you know, basically not in your control, but have access to the facility anytime you need it. So without that, I don't know if it could happen. Maybe the classroom side of things could happen, but I think in order for it to be successful, it has to have every aspect. It has to have driving, has to have the mechanical side of things, you know, the whole bit. It just, one without the other, I don't think it'll work.
So Steven, it shows on all the information I've seen so far, Michael, yourself, and Farmer on the staff list. Can you describe what everyone's roles are going to be like in this program?
Well, you know, Rich Farmer's role, I mean, he's financially invested in everything, and he's kind of the money behind it. And Michael and I are providing the knowledge that we've learned over, you know, 30 plus years of racing. Michael's going to be really focused on the fuel system stuff, engine maintenance stuff, and that's kind of been his deal over the years. You know, back when he raced himself, he took care of the motors and the fuel system stuff, and then after he retired from driving, he just kept doing that with whatever team we were helping at the time. And then I'm going to focus on just the setup, but there's a lot to that, but the setup of the race cars and going over the maintenance of the cars with the students. Rich, if it wasn't for Rich and his involvement, I don't think any of this would happen. And, you know, he's sticking his neck out pretty far here to get cars around for us to service and get ready for the people to drive and take a look at.
You mentioned the cars, so let's start with the driving piece of the program. Is this, obviously you've talked about race cars, so you're going to have cars that people can drive if they don't have one or they might use a school car, but can someone bring their own race car to the program and participate in the driving part of the program as well?
Yeah, they definitely can bring their own car. They can save money on that as well. If you look at the information on our social media sites and that, but they don't have to. They can, you know, if they're from, let's say, way in the Midwest someplace or Oklahoma or something, it'd be very difficult for them to bring their own car. If they choose to come to us, they can be confident in getting in a race car that's not half put together and worried about if it's going to, the car's going to fail on them. These cars will be first class, nice cars that if for some reason we decided to race a weekly show at Fremont, these cars would compete.
That's pretty impressive. Now, what do the on-track programs look like at this point? Are we talking about, you know, like people have never sat in a sprint car, or how detailed does the on-track program get?
It gets very detailed. We have a beginner package, which is more or less, TJ, if you wanted to strap your butt into one of these things, you could take the beginner class. And it's, you know, both cars, there'll be a 410 and a 305 car. They're separate cars. The 305 car will be a legitimate 305 sprint car, same with the 410. But all the we call it the beginner package. That package is for the guys that have no experience. You know, they just want to drive a sprint car. And they can just show up that day. We'll educate them on the safety side of things, you know, how to get out of the car if it's laying there upside down, that kind of stuff, and then turn you loose, you know, and get to make some laps. And they'll get to run 30 laps, you know, and never have driven anything before. Then we have we call it the novice package. And that's more for somebody that has raced is the idea behind that. They've either raced karts or minis or micros or whatever, but they want to get, you know, involved in sprint car racing. You know, this gives them an opportunity. The education and instruction side of things is much more technical. You know, we work on patterns and we work on things like that up to the advanced package, which ends up being 70 laps. But that package, you know, we work on all the basic stuff down to how to restart the car, how to you know, initial start the car, what dirty air does, moving the wing forward and backward, what that does with the car, all these things that they would experience, you know, in real racing. We want them to be able to feel in this scenario. We want them to be out there by themselves and understand what pattern changes do. We feel in 70 laps, the racetrack will start to change enough that they'll be able to learn, you know, how to follow the grip and those kind of things. So, you know, it can go right from the guy that just wants to just drive a race car one time and say he's got to do it up to somebody who's trying to better themselves. So it's pretty a wide gamut of options for people, you know, on the driving side of things that just about anybody can fit in there and get some reward out of this. We, you know, it's not cheap, you know, by no means. And we want to make sure that every dollar is worth something, and that when you leave there, you felt like you gained or you had the time of your life, one of the two.
One more question about the on-track program, specifically for you, Mike. If you had had something at your disposal like this when you got started, how much do you think it would have cut off your learning curve?
Yeah, especially those first, like for me, when I first started out, all those little feelings and things that I spent the first 3-4 weekends doing, trying to learn, would have been over. I'd have come into my opening night almost in like a 4-5 week, you know, shape as far as what to feel, what things do, you know, especially if you start to look at the advanced side of things. You know, there was a lot of nights that we went home, you know, pretty upset with my performance that, you know, could have been shaken off in a schooling situation like this, you know, not to mention the drivers will be able to hear. You know, Steven and I will be able to communicate with these guys while they're on a track, you know, with the one-way radios. So there's a lot of advantages to this that, you know, every lap you can, you know, if they make a bad corner, you can slow them down and say, listen, this is what you did wrong. Now fix this and do this. So it's almost endless the gain that you would get out of something like this.
The on-track part of this is really sexy and cool. It's the neat part, the shiny part that everyone likes. When I was looking over the course materials, like the stuff you posted online, I could not believe the value the classroom portion of this is. I mean, I, you know, personally, I don't even know if you're charging enough, to be honest, for this. I mean, the maintenance and setup parts of this, like, how is that classroom going to be set up? And what does that, for those that haven't read about it yet, what does that look like? Because when I was reading over it, it looks incredible.
Well, you know, I guess, first off, we have a, and it's in the works right now as far as getting the facility finalized. We have a very, very nice building we're going to be using in downtown Fremont for our classroom setting. And in that classroom, there's going to be a car, almost a complete car, that we can use as like a demonstration piece for maintenance and car assembly and stuff like that. But there's going to be lots of questions, and we're going to just have to answer each question that the people have. We got a lesson plan to help us start off the, you know, each class. And you know, we have things set up throughout the lesson plan. Like on, for instance, on the setup stuff, you know, square and rear ends, square and front ends, how to pick torsion bars, what torsion bars to pick, shocks and stuff like that. So each of them sections will be able to teach the kids or the people, not kids, but the students, what we feel they need to know. And then after each section, they'll be able to answer or ask questions and you know, they'll be able to write everything down. They're going to have notepads supplied and pens and paper and all that stuff. And it's going to be almost like in a way, like a seminar type atmosphere as well. You know, they'll be able to ask, maybe there's something that we haven't covered that they're interested in. And of course, we're going to try to think of every single thing that we can come up with. But, you know, if there's something that they feel that we haven't covered and they want to know, we'll discuss it.
That sounds like an awesome program, especially at the maintenance part, because I think, you know, if I were to pick up a car today and decide I wanted to do this, which will never happen, but if I did that, the maintenance part to me would be the scariest part of all.
And it is. There's a lot of people. We have, you know, the courses are almost full for our first weekend of doing this, but the maintenance has been one of the biggest ones. You know, there's a lot of people that just, you know, they're new to the sport, or they, you know, Steven and I got to grow up in the sport. So the maintenance part of it came second nature. We've seen it our whole lives, where most people that get into the sport don't have that option. And so we're trying to help provide that, you know, to where use years of experience. I don't call it knowledge, I call it experience, that help keep race cars on a racetrack all night. And if you don't have that available to you, it costs a lot of money and a lot of time to learn it. And so hopefully this part, you know, these classes can accelerate that learning curve for people to where they can feel a lot more confident on what they're doing. You know, even on the engine maintenance, you know, Rich is putting together, he's working with Paul Kistler on putting an engine together that is one side of it's a 305, the other side the 410. And so we can teach how to adjust valves and both, you know, depending on which car you have, you can learn on a 305, you can learn on a 410, and it's on one engine in that car that's sitting in our classroom. So we've put a lot of effort into trying to cover every aspect of racing, or sprint car racing, I should say, that people will need to be able to be confident to go to the racetrack, know the race car is put together well. They know that they've got a good baseline setup. You know, it's in there together. Their fuel system is set right. They can go into opening night or whenever and just have some confidence in it. And hopefully it can keep people in the sport longer, give people an opportunity that may be struggling to have some success. And even if it's just that one little thing they learn out of it, it could be valuable and keep people in the sport. And that's what we're trying to do. As expensive as the sport is, we as a group, and I think when I say group racing, we need to keep as many people involved as we can. And keeping them motivated and confident is a good starter for that.
You recently took this program to PRI show to present to manufacturers, and I'm sure you talked to several potential students as well. What was the reception like at the show to the program?
I've always went to PRI as a racer and begging for anything you can get. And going there as a school, you get a lot more than you do as a racer, you know. So the reception from the manufacturers was phenomenal. You know, we've got there's obviously with Steve and I being in the sport as long as we have some companies that we've dealt with for years. You know, our family's in the speed shop business. So there's a lot of companies that we've have, you know, we've talked to these guys for 15 years. And so to go there with this, instead of, hey, we want to take your car or all your equipment you give us and jam it in a fence, we can tell them, you know, we're going there to showcase your product to a bunch of captive audience members, you know. And so, you know, Maxim's already on board. You know, they're helping us out a ton with race cars. You know, we've got a couple other good companies that we spoke to that we're not finalized with them yet, but it's all but done you know, are going to help us out. Just to get their product in the classroom on our race cars so that these people that, you know, these are the most captive, you know, customer they could ever get. If we can educate them and have first class products, you know, maybe they'll benefit. The manufacturers will as well. So that reception was good. Our, you know, we did speak to a couple people that would be interested in taking classes, but at PRI, our focus was to try to make sure we got to every manufacturer that we wanted to. And to be honest with you, every one of them was very receptive, and it's been pretty cool to see.
So you seem real. Both of you are laser focused on this program for 2024. It's a fascinating product, but it makes me wonder: does this mean that the Linder home for Wayward West Coast Sprint Car drivers is closed at the moment?
If Steph has her way, that's not the case, but. Yeah, we're right now the West Coast train. There's nobody on it right now, but yeah, there's still race cars in the garage, you know. But nothing that's going to compete on every Saturday night right now. So yeah, for the moment, this is it. I feel like once the school is up and rolling, it'll take a little less effort than it does right now. But right now, we're just, you know, we're pouring everything we got into this to get it up and rolling and make sure those first classes are successful. We cannot have anybody go away unhappy, you know? And so we want to make sure that everybody that comes in and they give us their hard earned money to gain some knowledge, they better gain some actual knowledge. So we're focused on making sure that is the case. You know, once it, you know, mid season and we're, you know, race season's going, we know it's going to slow down a little bit, but we want to try to capitalize now while people are off and got time and be able to jump on this and get it rolling. But yeah, through the summer, who knows what's going to happen, but Right now, there's no race cars in the garage.
Well, Mike, Steven, this program sounds amazing. You know, if people want to find more information about the school, about the Fremont Speedway Motorsports Education Program, where can they find all the information at?
Well, we're on X, formerly Twitter, and we're on Facebook. You can go to www.fremontohspeedway.com. There's a link there. Yeah, just you just look up Fremont Speedway Motorsports Education, and we're there. And our email address is there. The email is info.fsmedu@gmail.com. And you can send us a message through there, and we'll get back in touch with you in a pretty timely fashion. So I'd say this is going to be a big deal for us. I think it's going to be a big deal for the people that come through the class. We want it to be, like Michael said, a awesome experience. We want when the people leave, we want them to tell their friends wherever they're from, and we want that word of mouth to be very favorable for us. So we're going to make sure that this is a first class deal.
All right. Well, guys, I know you're really busy putting this together, but I appreciate your time this evening to talk about it, and best of luck getting this new program off the ground.
Hey, thanks, TJ. Yeah. We'll through the summer at some point, we'll save you a spot in one of these things to take some laps.
Hey, you got jokes. That's funny. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Well, Derek, to finish off this week's show, it's the holiday season. Christmas is right around the corner, so we put together a few items that we put on our racing Christmas lists for 2023 leading into 2024. Derek, what's the first thing you have on your racing Christmas list, and why do you want it?
I would love to see, you kind of alluded to this earlier in the show, I would love to see IRA come back to Butler. It would be really awesome. This is pie in the sky if they could co-sanction it with FAST. If you remember the World War III days, obviously you do. But even just having Butler with IRA, that was one of my favorite things to go to when I was younger. And if they could pair it with probably Hartford, since Hartford has had IRA recently, I think that would help both tracks out, and I think that would be an awesome thing for Michigan.
That would be neat. They're going to need a Friday night track. I mean, it has to. You cannot get those guys to come around Chicago, and I don't blame them unless there's two nights of racing to it. I really don't think it's worth their time if there isn't. So, I mean, hopefully, I would love it to happen. I'm not overly optimistic, but who knows? Maybe we won't end up in coal in our stocking after that one. So,
All right.
First one on my Christmas list is a rain-free Kings Royal weekend. I want to get through the entire Kings Royal weekend this year without worrying about when it's going to rain. It has been, we've had a tough few years with this, you know, and believe me, some of the rain at the Kings Royal has produced some of the best stories I've written and some of the most memorable things I've seen in the stands there. And, and there's an aspect of fun to that of like, ooh, we could be here all night until you actually do it a few times. But I would love to see what they could do with that weekend with optimal weather just once.
I would like to see that just not have a tornado warning
throughout the week. At least try to get, at least just a nice spring shower. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would really like to see some better weather. Derek, what's the next thing on your list?
I want to see a well-supported Ohio Sprint Speed Week. I want to see just cars come out of the woodwork, the local guys. I want to see some guys travel in for that. Aaron Fry put a ton of work into that, and the tracks put a ton of work into that. I just want to see it well supported and hope that it goes off without a hitch.
It's an awesome event. I'd love to see it, and not only that, but just have a good support throughout the whole week for it. Yeah. It is a grind. I mean, there's no doubt, and it's a tough way to go, tough road to hoe, man. Doing the maintenance in and out every night, especially if you're not running well, or if you wreck something, it's just brutal. But yeah, I would agree 100%. So item number 2 of 3 on my list is similar to that. I would love, it's not going to happen this year, but maybe next year for Christmas, I could get a return of the Buckeye Nationals. Now, I'm going to appeal to this a little bit. It was one of the coolest events of the USAC Sprint Cars, the USAC Midgets, that ran 4 nights in Ohio at Attica, Fremont, Lima, and Eldora. Now, we don't even need all 4. I would sell for 2 of them on a weekend to do this. And I would love to see a revival of this because it was always well supported. There was just some politics in the background that really got in the way of that event growing. And a lot of those factors are gone now. And I'd really like to see someone take another flyer on it.
Yeah, that's something I've never been to. So that's something I would definitely love to see to come back just so I could attend it.
Oh, it was so cool. It was awesome. It was so much fun. Some really memorable stories grinding down the road of that thing for 3 nights is pretty awesome. So, Derek, what's your 3rd and final Christmas wish this year?
I am going to go back to the local scene. I've been wanting this for a few years. I would love to see a GLSS Speed Week, weekend, whatever you want to call it. It would be really cool if they could do something similar to what USCS does, which is essentially 3 or 4 days one weekend and 3 or 4 days the next weekend. Maybe you could split it north tracks one weekend, south tracks one weekend, and maybe get, you know, 7 to 8 races in a 14-day span would be pretty cool. I think we do well attracting 360s up here, and I think it would be cool for them to get something kind of with some support from people outside of the area.
I think that's an excellent idea. Now, my 3rd and final one also involves GLSS. I would love to see that series get into Gas City and Montpelier. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if there's anything in the works for that, but I think those two racetracks would be on awesome GLSS shows. They don't even have to be on the same weekend, even 2 different weekends, but I'd love to see them at one Gas City, Montpelier, one, either or both would be wonderful.
I didn't get to the GLSS show the last time they went to Gas City, or was that SOD? I can't remember, but yeah, I would love to get down there, Gas City, for any wing sprints, 360, 410. So I 100% and I'm bored with that.
Well, I mean, there's our Christmas list. So we'll have to revisit this later in the year and see how many of our boxes contain what we wanted and where we ended up with coal in it later on.
Right.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for the final show of 2023. We put all 2 of them in the books together. But, Derek, it's been fun doing this with you, and we're going to continue on. We won't be back till January 8th together to do another one of these shows. But I appreciate you taking the co-host seat for the last 2 shows of the year, and wish a Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this, and I hope that we continue to do these and gain some support by some listeners out there. So happy new year to everyone. Merry Christmas to everyone. And we'll see you on the other side.
Yes. And a big thank you, of course, to our sponsors, Maxim Chassis, All-Star Performance, and Dirt Track Nation. If you're interested in supporting the website, the podcast, anything else, hit us up on the contact tab on the website. Well, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we will see you in 2024. Thank you and good night.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the Open Wheel Spectacular.